I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein. I found in my own life that I gain even more from these inspired sermons when I study them in greater depth.
The basic pattern is to identify the fundamental doctrine or principle that's being taught. Find any invitations associated with and related to that doctrine or principle. And then also recognizing the promised blessings if we act in accordance with that invitation.
Welcome to Words of the Prophets podcast. My name is Todd. I'm here with my friends Rivka and Burke, and this is a podcast where we discuss the latest talks from the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. How are you today, Rivka?
I'm doing fantastic.
Great. How's your weather?
I don't know how the weather is in the Pacific Northwest, because we are much further down the Pacific coast of the Americas in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, where it is and like 75 degrees Fahrenheit and a little breeze. Gorgeous. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. And that's why you're so fantastic.
I'm looking right out over the ocean. Yep.
Well, I am both jealous of the weather and very happy for you two to have a little getaway. Sounds amazing.
Yeah, this is our first, like, just the two of us getaway in.
A long time. Yeah.
Like, probably 10 years like this.
Yeah.
So. Wow.
And this is the first time I've ever been to Mexico, so.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
Do either of you speak Spanish at all?
No.
Nope.
Yeah, I know how to ask where, you know, like, where's the bathroom?
Yeah.
Well, that's important.
That's pretty much it. And we ordered tacos.
Yeah. Managed to find food so far, so we're good.
Yeah.
Well, good. I appreciate you taking time out on your vacation to have a chat about General Conference talks. I wanted to ask you both to introduce yourselves a little bit. That might seem weird this many episodes in, but we do get new listeners who slowly trickle in over time. I'm not going to say it's a lot of new listeners, but some. And I have had a couple who wanted to know more about who we are and, you know, where you're from, your sort of church or scripture background. And so, you know, that can be a 30-second, one-minute intro. So, Rivka, let's start with you.
Okay. My name's Rivka. I grew up mostly in southeastern Idaho in the United States, so Rocky Mountains area. My gospel background, I've been a member of the church my whole life. I have zero formal gospel teaching education. I've done a little bit of college. I trained as a surgical assistant, so that's kind of my secular education. And, but my dad is a professor of religion and biblical scholar and an archaeologist and Near Eastern historian. So I grew up with probably more access than most to gospel, books and like scholarly things. So I don't have like any degrees. I did some classes. I graduated from seminary. I did some classes while I was at BYU, Idaho. And that's it for the formal, but I have loved studying the gospel and talking about the gospel my whole life. And especially I've always had kind of a special love and affinity for General Conference and hearing our prophet today speak. So that's it. All the thoughts that come out of my head are just mine from years of studying and thinking and discussing with people.
Awesome. I've always found your thoughts to be very insightful and interesting. And, so I appreciate you participating. And what is your relationship to the young man sitting next to you?
Well, this is my husband, Burke. we've been married. How long have we been married? I don't know. What year is it? 17 years?
Is it going to
be? It'll be 18 years this year, right?
Long enough that it doesn't matter anymore if you remember the number of years.
Yeah, 17 years. Yep, we have a 16-year-old son and a 14-year-old daughter and an 8-month-old puppy.
8 months already?
Wow. I know. Yep. I know. Thank goodness.
I guess I haven't lived those 8 months.
Sometimes it seems fast and sometimes it seems interminably long. For me, everyone else in the house just loves it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, Burke, let's hear from you.
So I am also was raised in a family as a member of the church and grew up in Colorado till I was about 13 and then lived in Utah after that. And served a mission in Korea in the late 90s, South Korea. And as far as religious education, seminary and high school, religion classes at BYU when I was there. And then after BYU, I went to medical school and then did residency in anesthesia. And I'm now an anesthesiologist, and but kind of a non-traditional job. I actually do general anesthesia for pediatric dentists in their dental offices. So I travel quite a bit. And so I have the opportunity to listen to the scriptures and conference. And that's about the first hour of my drive every morning is scriptures and conference listening. And I'm married to Rivka. Therefore, I'm often involved in gospel discussions. And I have many questions always, and I'm seeking answers all the time. So
great. I love it. I love that you like to bring up questions. It's such a great thing. And the gospel is so rich. You can have a million questions and find a million answers and get a million more questions. So,
yep.
And Burke, how do we know each other?
We lived about a block apart in Iowa when I was doing residency in anesthesia and you were doing your residency in radiology. So
indeed,
same ward, some of the same shared misery, as it were. And we have kids.
Indeed.
Similar
ages, yeah, the so. Kids went to school, like walked up to school together.
Yeah.
Deanna and I have been swapped child care to go help out in classrooms for those years. Lots of good memories.
Yeah, lots of good memories. Lots of time away from home, Burke, and for our wives to hang out together while we were saving lives and getting educated.
Yep.
So I grew up all over the country. I'm a military brat. So my name is Todd, and I'm a military brat from, you know, my childhood. My wife would heavily emphasize the word brat. And whenever I introduce myself, she frequently does emphasize that word. I grew up in the church as well, but, my father left the church partway through my childhood. My mom was always stalwart and my stepdad was sort of, 1 foot in, 1 foot out for a significant number of years. So I wouldn't say I had the classic sort of, member upbringing. I did have, you know, time in my teenage years where things were a struggle and it was, you know, I wasn't always at church. But when I got into college, I knew, you know, that testimony that was always there came to the surface, served a mission in Portugal, and I've been all in ever since, but have no formal sort of gospel training. But I love to read the scriptures, study the scriptures. One of my favorite callings I've ever had was gospel doctrine teacher, and I would just spend hours and hours prepping for that, knowing that I would use, you know, 10% of what I was prepping, but it was just so fun to dig and learn. And I always had a particular love for general conference. I don't have like strong memories of general conference traditions or anything from when I was a kid, but Deanna and I have had a lot of traditions, you know, including certain kinds of food. We don't do the cinnamon rolls, you know, as much as everyone else. Maybe that seems like a thing on Instagram. I don't know. But we do like pumpkin pancakes and we do Legos during conference. So it's sort of a very fun family time. And then Rivka started, and this is an old story, but for those who are new, Rivka started a Facebook group where she would review and comment on every general conference talk. And then all of her friends sort of joined and started leaving their own comments. And I just had a hard time keeping up with reading what was written, even though it was brilliant. And I'm big into podcasts, and I know Burke is as well. And I reached out to Rivka and said, I don't care if you just read what you wrote and I record it, like, come do this podcast with me. And it morphed from there into a regular thing that we just love doing. And Aaliyah, my daughter, was with us for a while. Now she's on a mission in Tempe, Arizona, Spanish speaking. She did get permission to participate from her mission president, but prayed about it, didn't feel great about it. And so just went to the sort of thing we're doing now where she records a brief, you know, thought about each talk. But, you know, maybe one day she'll be back on the podcast, but it's been good for all of us. We've had a lot of fun and really, I think, loved feeling the Spirit together and learning about the words of our modern prophets. So anything else to add, team, before we move on?
No. I don't think so. I think everyone knows as much as they need to.
Maybe more.
Mostly I just feel bad that we're not getting to the
probably
talk.
More.
That's what people come for. So.
I know. I know some people that may or may not be married to me are going to say that was a really long intro, but I did have a few requests for that. So, and then I want to put those up, some things up on Instagram as well, just so people know who the faces and names are behind what we're doing. And we'll run over today so we can give the talk its due. So that's okay. So let's go ahead and get into the talk. Facing Our Spiritual Hurricanes by Believing in Christ by Elder Sean Douglas of the 70. So talk about hurricanes. Very interesting topic. So Rivka, what was your fundamental doctrine in this talk?
Which of us? You? Okay. What was the fundamental doctrine of this talk? I don't know. Stay away from hurricanes. here we go. This quote is kind of the one that I highlighted and that I felt was the message for me in this. Well, he says, "You may never face a devastating physical hurricane. However, each of us has weathered and will weather spiritual hurricanes that threaten our peace and try our faith. Thankfully, the Lord has provided us a sure way to joyfully overcome them. By living the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are assured that when dark clouds of trouble hang over us and threaten our peace to destroy, there is hope smiling brightly before us." And I feel like for me, that was the message of this talk, that there are going to be these spiritual hurricanes in a number of different forms. He talked about some different ways, but that can shake us, shake our faith and have the potential to weaken our faith. And so our reliance on the Savior and being willing to live his gospel is what will help us be able to weather those storms that come.
Awesome. So we're all going to have storms, which, you know, he's using the word hurricane, but that's just a really, really big storm. And those storms are going to be weathered through a foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Burke, what did you think the fundamental doctrine was?
Well, almost everything I marked in this talk is a quote of President Nelson, I think. but I marked what comes right after what Rivka just read, and that is, saints can be happy under every circumstance. We can feel joy even while having a bad day, a bad week, or even a bad year. The joy we feel has little to do with the circumstances of our lives and everything to do with the focus of our lives. And I love it.
I love it. So, Burke, I have not been keeping track. What would be your estimate of the number of times that quote was used in general conference from this last general conference?
If not that exact quote, that doctrine, every other talk, I don't know. I can't give you an example. A lot.
Yes. A huge amount. It's been surprising how often it has come up. So why do you think that resonated so deeply with the people who were giving these talks that they felt they needed to repeat it?
Because I think so many people in the last couple of years have had a really difficult time. And God wants us to know that the way we find joy isn't by changing our circumstances. It's by improving our righteousness.
Yes, I love it. Well, that feeds into the fundamental doctrine that I picked out, and it was two further paragraphs down where he says, "Divine laws govern how to feel joy during our spiritual hurricanes. And I thought that was a really interesting way to phrase it, not just the idea that sort of the more motivational idea of like, you should, you know, try to adjust your focus or rely on the Savior. It was very concrete, for lack of a better word, to say this, your joy is governed by divine laws. And almost like there's a formula, you know, and just follow the math formula of, you know, faith plus devotion equals joy or whatever. And that's how you, you know, you achieve joy during your spiritual hurricanes. So, well, Rivka, let's go back to sort of a broader approach to this. So tell us a little bit about these hurricanes and how he relates them, you know, to our lives more specifically.
He begins the talk by telling us that for the last 6 years, he and his wife have lived on the Gulf Coast in Texas, where some big hurricanes have struck, some of the largest, and they sounds like they were there during Hurricane Harvey, which my brother and his wife were there when that happened too, which is a big one. And so then he tells us what, like how hurricanes come about with the warm water, meeting the, let's see, what does he say? The wind meets the warm ocean water and then it causes clouds and the spiral pattern forms. And that's how the hurricane is created. And then they start moving toward land. And then as the hurricane moves over the land, it weakens because it no longer has that warm water source and it changes the functionality. There you go. That's how I read that. I'm clearly not a meteorologist. I'm sure there are terms. But I like that he tells us that. And then he says during the talk a couple of things that kind of, I like the way that he related them to this. So he said that this, Satan seeks to lead us to the breeding ground of doubt. And he's comparing that to the warm ocean water that becomes this breeding ground for developing a hurricane. And so Satan seeks to lead us to the breeding ground of doubt. And he tempts us to relax our spiritual vigilance. That inattention can induce a lack of spiritual conviction where we are neither hot nor cold. And then he says, just as hurricanes weaken over land, doubt is replaced with faith as we build our foundation on Christ. I just like when they do these things in talks because it helps to give like visual aids, you know, I can picture that in my head. And because I always appreciate when someone can help me see a gospel principle from another angle. I'm sure I say that almost every talk, but I feel like that's what these do. They give me the opportunity to see things from other, I don't know, other angles or add facets to my understanding.
Yeah, it was a really good analogy of the warm water sort of feeding. I mean, if you've ever been, so he generally talks about joy and faith, but when he applies it specifically to doubt, if you've ever seen someone enter, or if you yourself have been into a faith crisis, it really feels like something is feeding a giant spiral, you know, and it just careens out of control as things that you thought that you knew or believed just get shaken and tumble, you know, all in a row like dominoes. So really feels like a big spiral. And you know, he's talking about not feeding that spiral, but rather sort of moving out of that area of your life or maybe that breeding ground of doubt and making a choice to choose faith. So, Burke, what are your thoughts about that spiral of doubt and how to deal with it when it occurs?
Well, one of the things I really liked about this topic that Rivka brought up here is that he gives it a step-by-step method for how it happens. And then he also gives you kind of a step-by-step method for how to get out of it. So he says, just as hurricanes weaken over land, doubt is replaced with faith as we build our foundation on Christ. Then we are able to see spiritual hurricanes in their perspective. So we understand where those doubts are coming from, and our capacity to overcome them is enlarged. And then when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, his shafts in the whirlwind, it shall have no power to drag us down to the gulf of misery and endless woe. And then, of course, as President Nelson has taught, and he quotes, faith in Jesus Christ is the foundation of all belief and the conduit of divine power. The Lord does not require perfect faith for us to have access to his perfect power, but he does ask us to believe. So I like that he shows how the spiral happens and how the spiritual hurricanes can get hold of us, and then also how to get out of it.
Yeah, and that's important, you know, to hang on to that faith. And he tells a story of, you know, choosing to believe. I wanted to ask you, Burke, so I don't know if you have ever experienced these sort of swirling spirals of doubt or a more focused faith crisis. I'm certain you know people who have, whether you have yourself or not. What have you seen people do? So how does that play out in real life for people who are able to sort of halt that process and regain their faith?
Well, for me, and I've definitely had them, what I latch on to is times in my life when I know I received an answer. These tend to be the kind of spiritual experiences that you don't necessarily share with people, but I've definitely had some times in my life when I prayed for something specific or for an answer in a specific way or something that was happening. When I got that answer, I knew where it came from. I knew it wasn't my thought. I knew it wasn't my plan. I knew it wasn't an answer coming from my mind. And so when I can focus on those and say, okay, so at this moment, I know that I knew. And how do I, you know, build on that? But just to have that foundation of those times in my life, those moments. And I think that's one reason why it's important when those things happen to write them down. So you can later go back and read them, remember them, and remember when you weren't having doubts, what it felt like. Anyway, that's what's helpful for me, but everyone has their own journey.
Yeah, I love that. I think there's great instruction on that in the Book of Mormon. You know, the word remember is in there, I don't know how many times, 300 something times.
Yeah.
And I love the thought of writing it down, Burke, for your own self, your future self. I was watching over my shoulder as my son watched a psychology video for a psych class in high school. And they were just talking about how sort of malleable and changeable our memory is and how unreliable people are on the witness stand. And not that they're lying, just that it's so hard for our brains to accurately remember. Uh-huh. And so when you record that as it or right after it happens, you can go back and read that and say, oh yeah, this is when I knew. And you move off that warm water onto the solid ground.
Yep.
And you can sort of halt the growth of that spiral and then give it some time to, you know, dissipate as you keep building faith. So yeah, leaning on those past experiences is fantastic. Rivka, to me, it was a bit of a, I don't know, tonal or maybe intellectual shift to go from joy to doubt. So how do those two things relate?
He said a couple of really interesting things here, and kind of bold statements. The first one, he says, doubt is an enemy of faith and joy. Which is, I mean, that, like, the term enemy is a strong one, right? Doubt is an enemy of faith and joy. And then he says, just as belief is a choice, so is doubt. And I had to sit and think about those for a minute, because a lot of times we don't talk about doubt as being a choice we're making. It's almost like when I've had discussions with people, it's like this condition that's suddenly been inflicted upon us. You know, like I'm just, someone has suddenly found themselves doubting out of nowhere, and now they don't know what to do about it. So I had to think about this statement of doubt being a choice, just as belief is a choice. So I was thinking about it, and of course I had to look up the word doubt in Webster's 1828, because I was like, well, what came into my head was this scripture in the Doctrine and Covenants where it says, look unto me in every thought, doubt not, fear not. So I was like, I wonder what doubt, like what's the definition of doubt? And I wonder what it was in 1828. So one of the definitions which is one that makes sense, like, which is one that I kind of would have defined it as, was a fluctuation of mind respecting truth or propriety, unsettled state of opinion. Like, I feel like that's how I would have defined it if I'd used words. But then another of the definitions was suspicion, fear, and apprehension. And I started thinking about those words, like, if I'm feeling doubt about the gospel or doubt about my Heavenly Father, and I put that word in, like, I'm feeling suspicion or fear or apprehension about it, that changes the way that I'm looking at the word doubt, like, or the experience of doubting. And that sounds more like a choice. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Rather than just, I don't know what to think or feeling confused, but this is like, I'm suspicious, or I have fears, or I'm feeling apprehensive about this. And of course, if you're feeling suspicion and fear and apprehension, those are just the total opposite of joy, right? So if we can't, it sounds to me like he's suggesting, and it makes sense to me, that we can't be experiencing both of those things at the same time very easily. So I guess the relationship would be, choose one, you know, like, here are choices. Do you want to have a life that's filled with joy? Here's how we do it. This is what President Nelson says. He quotes him. If you want to be happy, keep the commandments. And if what you want to do is live a life that is, you know, unsettled and full of suspicion and fear and apprehension, then I guess give in to the doubts. And maybe that's why we keep hearing from the brethren, and Elder Uchtdorf is one that's coming to mind, but he says, doubt your doubts before you doubt your faith. And that, you know, reading through this and pondering this week has helped me to kind of understand that better, why that would be such a serious thing, and why sometimes I've heard people kind of dismiss it, like, well, I have doubts, so that's just how it is. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, but that seems like, I mean, you're clearly making a choice. Anyway, this is a hard, like, I don't mean hard as in hard to believe, but this is a difficult wrestle that we have sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's legitimate.
There's a lot to wrestle with. I mean, you know, I have people that I love and care for who feel exactly as you described, that they just found themselves with these doubts.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like a choice. And so we want to be compassionate towards them. But also part of the way out is through choice. And so sometimes I see this a lot at work, where there's a pattern of behavior between two people, and each blames the other. But if they would just accept their own responsibility in the pattern and make changes for themselves, it would often improve. But that requires sort of accepting your part in it. And that is really, really hard. It reminds me of a story Deanna told me this week. She's reading a book called The Way Out. It's on chronic pain. And Burke, I'm sure, knows way more about pain than I do. So I am no expert. But it was a case report from a medical journal of a construction worker who fell and landed with his foot on a nail. Oh. And it went through and through his boot. So, you know, he stepped on it or landed on it, and the top part of the nail poked out of the top of his boot. And he was in excruciating pain and agony. He went into the ER. When they cut the boot off his foot, the nail had not penetrated his foot. It went right between his toes and hadn't damaged his foot at all. And so, yeah, it was crazy. So his pain was real, but it wasn't from acute mechanical trauma. Yeah. So he found himself in excruciating pain, but there was a choice component to it, even though he didn't think there was a choice to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So these are really, really hard issues, and I certainly don't want to make anyone listening feel like they are to blame or at fault or anything like that. But oftentimes, you know, I myself have, I know hardly any church members who have not had doubts at some time. We all have them. And I've had them and I've wrestled with them and studied and worked through them, but ultimately chosen to continue to believe and to, you know, let those doubts fade away. Or some of them I've just found complete resolutions from. And one of my favorite BYU professors, Susan Easton Black, said on one of the podcasts for Come Follow Me that, you know, she wrote and filled a notebook with questions and concerns. And now she's in her, you know, mature years. And she said, well, about 80% of them I have complete answers on, and I still don't have answers on others, but I still believe and choose to press forward full of faith. So, it's really hard, but there's definitely a choice element to it. So,
yeah.
And by choosing faith, that will bring us joy. And I like your association there with suspicion, Rivka. So let's talk about this. Burke, what about people? So he does make some very bold statements about faith and joy, and this is how we feel joy. What if you are doing all those things and you just don't feel the joy? What happens then?
That's hard. And I say that as a person who finds joy to be very ephemeral. I'm not a particularly joyous person. So I would say this is a struggle that I've had for a lot of my life. You know, because I can check off the list. I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. Where is this joy and where is this happiness? And for me, I find resolution from that in some of the simple things that I know have been taught for years and years. And one of them is counting my blessings, to really actually consciously taking stock of where I sit, you know, look into the past and remember the things that I've overcome, the difficult times I've been through and where I am now. Cause I think you have to have some perspective. I don't believe that just because you're on the right path means that when hard things in your life happen, you're just going to feel great all the time. For me, the joy tends to be intermittent and temporary. But when I have those moments of joy, I try to be very grateful for them and to acknowledge them. And that's helpful to me.
Yeah. So gratitude and focusing on the blessings you do have and sort of tying back into the same thing you talked about earlier, you know, remembering. But this time, instead of spiritual experiences or answers, remembering the things the Lord has given you. Okay. Rivka, what was another part of this talk that has stood out to you?
I think I missed a question there if there was one.
Oh, sorry. I know the connection isn't perfect. I was going to give each of you one more chance to pull out something from the talk, another quote that you really enjoyed. So let's go back to Rivka and start with her. Yeah.
Let's see. Maybe one of my favorite things in this whole talk is a scripture that he shares, because it's one of my favorite scriptures. I think it's one of the most beautiful lines in all of scripture. And he shares the story of the father who was caring diligently for his child. His child needs help. And he comes to the Savior and he says, if thou canst do anything, help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. And then he says, help thou mine unbelief. And that is just one of my favorite lines in all of scripture, because it's so poignant and it's so authentically real. And I think all of us have had the opportunity and probably multiple opportunities to say this very prayer to the Savior. Like, I'm struggling, and I'm trying, and it's not, either the joy isn't coming or the answers aren't coming, and I'm struggling to believe, help thou my unbelief. So if we can do anything in this making a choice between doubt and belief, that's the one thing that we can probably all muster up, is the ability to say, help my unbelief in whatever situation it is we're struggling with.
Yeah, I loved that part, and I love that story. And I love how he says, how merciful is our God to place the bar for us at the level of believing and not at the level of knowing. So, and I would modify that by saying, you know, the level of wanting to believe. You know, you don't even have to hit belief yet. If you just want to believe, you'll be blessed for that. So,
right.
Yep. Well, Burke, how about you? Any other part that stood out to you?
Like one other quote in here, our belief and obedience link us to power beyond our own to overcome whatever is happening or not happening in our lives. And that is, of course, another quote from President Nelson. But I think you have to realize that you can't get through all this. You can't get through these doubts on your own. You have to do it with faith in Christ, and you need to ask him for help and be willing to receive his help.
Ask and be willing to receive. I like that. Another part of doubting your doubts is being willing to let them go. So,
yeah.
Well, good. Rivka, what was an invitation and a promise that you found?
He says, we face our spiritual hurricanes best by believing in Christ and keeping his commandments. Our belief and obedience link us to power beyond our own to overcome whatever is happening or not happening in our lives. And then he says, brothers and sisters, may we choose today to doubt not, but be believing. So I feel like that's the invitation of this whole talk.
Yep.
Doubt not, but be believing.
Yeah. And he says right after that, the right way is to believe in Christ.
Yeah. The last like whole paragraph, they're all quotes from scriptures or other places. And he sort of combines a bunch of invitations and promises into one. So I liked, I think, unless I didn't hear everything you said, I think you skipped right over one of my, one of the promises that I loved. He said, in fact, over time, our state of being changes to happiness, and we are made alive in Christ as we exercise our faith in him and keep his commandments. So I love how he didn't say you'd feel happy. He said our state of being changes to happiness. And I apologize for the whiny cat in the background if you can hear it. And I always struggle with this. I don't want anyone to feel like they're not receiving something that or left out in some way, but I also just have to, I guess, lean into who I am. And man, this has just proven true in my life over and over and over again. As I've whatever I've been facing, if I just live the gospel, I don't just feel happy. You know, I am happy, and I just feel the Lord supporting me and strengthening me and helping me through it. And I know Aaliyah has felt that same thing. I think in that way, we are very, very alike. We just feel that strength and support. And, you know, when I was younger and just naive to everything in the world, I just thought that that happened for everybody. And as I've gotten older and more experienced and realized that people struggle their whole lives to feel that same strength and support. And you can read about Mother Teresa, who spent her whole life serving others and had doubts her whole life and struggled with that feeling. I've started to feel like maybe it's a spiritual gift, and maybe one that isn't named the same way, you know, the gift of wisdom or knowledge is or whatever, but, you know, it's just a spiritual gift. And I don't know why that's one of the gifts I have. I certainly have others that I want that I don't have. But I'm so grateful for it and for the joy that I've had as I've lived the gospel. So I believe that even if it's not that sort of overwhelming or all consuming for everybody, it can be a part of your life to feel that joy and that happiness, or at least feel that peace and know that, you know, Christ is the high priest of good things to come. And one day you will feel that joy and happiness, whether it be in this life or the next. So if anyone is struggling with doubts, or even if you're not, I think this is a great companion talk to Lawrence Corbridge. Lawrence Corbridge, I think, his devotional at BYU. I think it was January 2020. And it's called Stand Forever. So I'd highly recommend watching that. Very, very good. One of my favorite talks of all time, and probably the best talk I've ever heard on, you know, doubting and struggling through faith and and controversial issues. And one of his assignments as a general authority was to sort of wade through all the what might be called anti-Mormon literature or things along that those lines. And so he's read it all. He's seen it all. And he struggled with all of it and came out the other side. So that's a beautiful talk too. And I'd recommend that to anybody out there. Well, thank you both today. Very, very good talk. I thought it offered some unique perspectives. The next one we'll discuss is Miracles of the Gospel of Jesus Christ by Elder Carlos G. Ravillo, maybe? Ravillo Jr. Of the 70. And if you want to get a hold of us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Words of the Prophets Podcast or wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com. So thanks everyone for joining us today. And until next time, keep the faith.
Hola a todos, this is Hermana Ebert, and here are my thoughts on Facing Our Spiritual Hurricanes by Elder Sean Douglas. This was a pretty good one. One of the things that stood out to me the most is when he said that when hurricanes go over land, they weaken, and how that can be just the same as when we have a foundation in Christ, those hurricanes will inevitably weaken. And it allows us to have a better perspective on them, because when you're in the middle of a hurricane, it's hard to see where it's going to end or how to deal with it. But from a strong foundation, you can have that better perspective. And it says, the President Nelson taught that faith in Jesus Christ is the foundation of all belief and the conduit of divine power. And recently I've been reading a lot in the scriptures about how faith is the main indicator for miracles, and how the only reason there aren't miracles is if you don't have enough faith. And so in Moroni it talks about how God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he will continue working miracles through his children and to his children as long as they have faith. So if there were ever a time where there were no miracles, it wouldn't be because God has stopped being a God of miracles. It would be because his children have stopped believing in him. And I liked that he was talking about believing is as a choice. And sometimes you just need to choose to believe. And the same goes for doubt. He says, when we choose to doubt, we choose to be acted upon, yielding power to the adversary, thereby leaving us weak and vulnerable. And I like to distinguish between doubt and questions, because the modern day church was essentially founded from a question. And so questions are good, but doubt is a rough one. That one's difficult. And it's something that is maybe hard to discern in the moment, but I like that we can choose to have faith, and then it's a choice for us. One other thing I liked is that he said, how merciful is our God to place the bar for us at the level of believing and not at the level of knowing? And I thought that was pretty interesting, that like God could have chosen to bless us only when we knew that he existed, but he lets us choose to believe and exercise that particle of faith like it talks about in Alma. We only need a little bit, and that can lead to huge things. And so those were pretty much my thoughts. It was a pretty good talk, but yeah, those were the main ones that I came up with. So until next time, guarde la fe.
If we teach by the Spirit and you listen by the Spirit, some one of us will touch on your circumstance, sending a personal prophetic epistle just to you.